We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we start a new series on leadership from Pastor Marcus Burkine. Marcus is an apostolic pastor for our Gateway Church Network, where he helps churches govern themselves in a healthy way by providing relational connection, leadership development, and other trainings. Let's listen in.
Hey guys, great to be with you today, and thanks for listening. My name is Marcus Burkine. I've been on staff at Gateway for a long, long time. I think I came over with Noah on the Ark, and he dropped me off here in South Lake, and we started rolling a long time ago. But I love men's ministry. I love that you guys are out there getting it done, and so thankful for you. Anyway, I want to do a three-part podcast. I'm going to talk first about leadership, and then on numbers two and three, I want to talk about the implications of leadership. But I want to start in a place that may seem kind of odd to you, because I'm not going to talk just about leadership. I'm going to talk about self-leadership, how a man leads himself. And I may disqualify myself up front by saying this, but I feel like I need to let you know up front that you may lose respect for me, but I'm going to say it to you anyway, just in the interest of transparency, that I have participated in every bad decision that I have ever made. I just want you to know that. Every financial mistake, every relational mistake, every parenting fail, every marital mistake, I did it. It wasn't somebody else's fault. It was my fault. I participated in that, and I own that. And I don't know, maybe the same is true for you. Maybe it's true for you too. Here's another thing that you probably should know in the interest of transparency, that I am the chief engineer behind my greatest regrets. Maybe the same thing is true of you. I don't know. But I thought it was such a good idea at the time. And today, they're my biggest regrets. Now, why is all this important? The reason it's important is because if you and I are ever going to lead anyone else, we first have to lead ourselves well. Now, we've all worked for poor leaders. And if you're working for one now, man, I am so sorry about that. Hang in there. But we've all worked under poor leaders. And some of those poor leaders even managed some huge things. You know what? You can be a leader of a very large organization and not lead yourself well. So self-leadership is not a requirement to oversee a huge organization. But let me tell you something. You only want to be like the guys who led themselves well. So if somebody just had a rotten life and they were toxic and they were difficult to get along with, you may like the office that they're in, but you don't want anything at all to do with them. Tom Watson's the former CEO of IBM, and here's what he says. Nothing so conclusively proves one's ability to lead others as what they do on a daily basis to lead themselves. And for reinforcement, here's the way Jesus put it. If a guy can be trusted with a little, they can also be trusted with a lot. But if the little snares them, just imagine what the much would do to them. I think if we're honest, the people you want to be like are not so much the ones who taught you, but the guys that led themselves well. The guys who knew how to love and how to be compassionate. Not just the guys who knew how to boss people around, but people that were disciplined, who were fun and good to be with. And the key to long-term influence begins with self-leadership. Let me put it this way. We've all heard of burnout and moral failure. The truth is, burnout only happens because of poor self-leadership. It doesn't just happen. We didn't just get tired. It may sound hard, but there's always a reason. It begins with how we lead ourselves. Moral failure only happens because of poor self-leadership. And burnout and moral failure happened because a person had been leading themselves poorly for a very long time and nobody knew it. Every major downfall, whether public or private, happens because there's poor self-leadership. So the truth is that the most difficult person that you'll ever lead is the one whose face you shave every morning. That's you. And the reason why is that nobody can convince you of the validity of a bad idea better than you can. Nobody can sell you on a bad idea better than you can. You see it, you see that thing that you want, and now there's momentum, there's emotional momentum. You're trying to evaluate it and justify it in your mind. And so now everything inside of us wants to do this thing. Something deep down says, you know, I probably should not do this. But we go ahead and talk ourselves into it because there's some immediate benefit. It feels good. And we justify it a lot of times in our minds this way. You know, I won't finish it. Just a taste. Or, man, it's been a long week. It's Friday night. I deserve this. Or, okay, this is the last time I'm ever going to do this. This is it. Once more, this is it. After that, I'm done forever. And you know how that song goes, because we've all sung that song. But the best leaders are those who first lead themselves well. And here's the way they do it. Those who lead themselves well prioritize what they value most over what they want right now. And what you value most is rarely what you want right now. Just think about dessert. I don't know if you struggle with, you know, your weight, but people who struggle with their weight struggle often over dessert. It's just one bite. I'm not going to finish it. It's been a long week. This is the last dessert I'll have till Christmas or whatever. But the trouble is that if we do that long enough, the day will eventually come when what we value most is no longer possible. What you want now is a threat to what you value most. And what you value most is a threat to what you want right now. And so to prioritize what you value over what you want right now, you'll have to decide that you're okay being uncomfortable a lot, as in every day. Now, it's not very uncomfortable, but it's just a little uncomfortable. But you've got to just evaluate that this discomfort is going to come on a regular basis, and I am okay with that. But most people have never really decided what they deeply value. And you know, Christians would say Jesus or heaven or whatever. But think about it this way. I was at a funeral just yesterday for a close friend of mine, and this guy was a champion at this. What do you want said about you when you're gone? And I would challenge you to make a list. I'd challenge you to take the next 6 months. Keep this as a working document and just make notes on a regular basis. At some point, compress that into, you know, 10 things or less. But make a list. Don't just say, I want to go to heaven when I die, because that is too vague. That's too vague. That will stand in the way of almost nothing when it comes to what you want. And let me just also say this, that if your list has anything at all to do with making more money, you've not read the Bible very well. Because there's a whole lot of things, a lot more important than that. But make categories at home, at work, financially, retirement. Those things are important. But make a list. What do you value most? And then commit those things to memory, put them in your phone, look at them often. And what these things do is begin to guide us away from the things that we want now that are going to ultimately stand in the way of what we value most. That's what we're after. Now, I'm just going to read three scriptures for you. And I think these three scriptures will bring a little bit different way of looking at this. All right? This is Philippians 3, and I'm going to begin in verse 12, just three verses, four verses. Here's what Paul says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And here's what he says in verse 15. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Now, I don't know how that lands on you. There may be some things regarding that it just seems like you're talking about working for salvation. No, I'm not. I'm talking about growing up in Jesus, and it's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for any of us. Here's another way that Paul said it. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Here's what he said beginning in verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And it's important that we understand the ways that he contrasts being a man and being a child. Because when you're a child, all the parts are not yet in place. They're all there in infant form, but there's not enough reason or strength yet to say no to ungodly things. That's why our kids live at our house long enough for us to train them so that when they get out on their own, they know when to say yes and when to say no. All right? So the calling is to maturity, and all of us can get there. So listen to this from Hebrews chapter 5, and this is the very end of Hebrews 5. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature. And listen to this, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And that training is what we're talking about here, growing up to be men of God who know how to assess a temptation, find the strength from God and in our own hearts to say, I am not going to do that. I am not going to live that way. Why? Because it disrupts what I value most. I am going to be a man who prioritizes what I value most over what I want now. And when we become men of God who can do that, there's a maturity that the Holy Spirit begins to do on the inside of us, where now God can trust us to disciple other men. Now we've actually got something to impart to other men. But immature men who can't say no to temptation are never ready to, we don't want that imparted to anybody else, right? I mean, you may drink with them, but you're not going to help them grow up in the Lord. If a guy's trying to stop doing something that's ungodly, what he really needs is somebody who is strong in the Holy Spirit to come alongside them and help them learn, again, the way Hebrews 5:13 says, who lives on solid food, acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Solid food is for the mature. And I love this, again, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And it's not just distinguishing good from evil, it's turning away from evil and toward good. So that's what we're talking about in terms of self-leadership. And when we begin to lead ourselves well, there's a constant use, the way the author of Hebrews says, who by constant use we get to practice every day. And I'll just tell you, today you'll have 40 or 50 opportunities to practice this. And it's like a bench press. You start practicing, and before you know it, you're putting more weight on there, and you're a little bigger, a little stronger. Your spirit man does the exact same thing. Your spirit man will begin to grow up and become strong to where the things that used to crush you, the temptation that used to cause you to crumble, at some point you begin to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to do that. And the reason why is because I love God more than I love that. And it takes a strong man to do that. So, Father, we ask you today to give us grace to grow. Thank you for the men of God who are listening today. God, I pray that you would impart strength by the Holy Spirit into their hearts today, and that, Father, their love for the Lord Jesus would increase and cause them to have the strength to say no to ungodliness and yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit mensummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.